I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Listen.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War. Good morning. A little bit of a delay there. Sorry about that. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, June 29th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. We are in the age of totalitarian propaganda and the end of truth. So we violate the law of non-contradiction on a daily basis, but that's just, you know, kind of the, you know, the way to accelerate the tabula rasa. You know, we need to constantly do that. And it's interesting when you go back in history, particularly before the Gutenberg era, you hear about the oral tradition, basically, that storytelling was a thing and that people would pass traditions on. Orally. And so there are different names in different cultures for this. In fact, Dave Chappelle talked about this recently. There are names for this kind of, not position, but there are names for the person who does this, like in a family or in a community. And the person is known for being the keeper of the stories and the one who passes these things on, because that's part of who we are. It's part of our identity. And you'll notice, particularly in American culture these days, in Western culture, that
We are losing that, obviously. We're losing our ability to keep track of things. It's so interesting. In technology, I've talked about how if you look at structured data, for example, structured content, structured data, you will find, you know, for example, you can read what Google has to say. You know, if you do a search for structured data, understand how structured data works. And you can see an example of code that has some structured data formatting. I've talked about the different kinds of, the different technological, JSON-LD, RDF, these kinds of technologies that allow you to basically tell the web, you know, what you have. So the point is, part of structured data includes a record for what's called a canonical resource. What is the canonical resource for this information? In other words, what is the main resource, or what is the main link to which all other links should point for this record? You know, if you're talking, for example, about a person's contact information, or, you know, their date of birth, what's the one record from which all others make copies? And this is important. It sounds simple, but when you start getting into these relationships, one to many, many to many, and different kinds of things, it can get, you know, if you don't have a process for this, it can get really complicated really quickly. And there are platforms that have solved problems in the past. There was the contact platform and app that Plaxo. Plaxo was the online address book launched in 2002. Subsidiary of Comcast. So founder Sean Parker, Todd Masonis, Cameron Ring. Shut down in 2017. I thought it was marvelous technology. I don't see anything that has replaced it, and that's unfortunate. What was special and unique about Plaxo was that basically you had an address book and you kept track of your record. So imagine kind of a digital business card, and we all keep in touch with each other, and you know, I keep track of my business card, you keep track of yours. And since we are linked, since we are networked, you have my contact information, I have yours. And so if my phone number changes, or, you know, maybe I change jobs and therefore my work number changes, or, you know, my work email changes or whatever, I don't need to tell everybody. I just update my own record. And then automatically everyone else's address book is updated. So you automatically have current contact information. And so because I maintain my own record, that is the canonical record. And if you don't do that, you know, and so that's the one from which all of the other copies are made for all of the people in my address book. You know, Bob and Sally and Joe and Fred and everybody have a current, you know, business card or contact record for me in their address book, because I update mine, and so automatically all of the copies are updated to the most current information. And if you don't do that, then what happens? You know, in some cases, some people may have a more current record than you have yourself, or, you know, obviously they may vary wildly. Where is the canonical resource? Who knows? And so when you think about that concept in social terms, I mean, Plaxo was revolutionary, in my opinion. I thought it was fantastic, and I was disappointed when it sort of faded into obscurity. And now, you know, things like Facebook are supposed to replace it. But nothing that I've ever seen really does what Plaxo did in those early days, where your address book was always up to date. It was amazing, and you would get choices. I remember for a while, I think by about Plaxo 3.0, it started to get weird. But before that, you know, there were some updates, and you could choose, for example, maybe you knew that, you know, a person had, you know, a certain phone number or something that maybe wasn't published in their address book, but you hung on to it for whatever reason. You could make those decisions yourself, but their record was maintained primarily by them. That was the canonical resource. So when you think about it, that concept applied to a social level or a societal level, you know, we don't have that anymore, and we're being encouraged to hand that responsibility over and that power really to technocrats and technology. And, you know, so there are some very, I would say, grave implications. One of the things we've talked about is you know, why I prefer books to technology, which is a contextual, you know, kind of a nuanced discussion. Do I prefer books in all cases? Probably, but, you know, books don't allow things to, books aren't, by nature, they're not ubiquitous. So you can't make a book available unless you turn it into something digital like a PDF or some other readable format that you can, you know, maybe readable, searchable, or whatever. And, you know, then you can stick it in a Kindle or something. I've never done that, but that would be a way to make it ubiquitous and available online. But you can't easily change a book either. So when you have editions of a book, for example, when you have a first edition of Jonathan Quitney's Endless Enemies, The Making of an Unfriendly World, then you have something that, or, you know, when you have a first edition of Tragedy and Hope or something like that, or the Anglo-American Establishment, you have something unique and unchangeable. You know, unless you physically alter it or tear pages out or something like that. And so it's interesting the implications that sort of come along with the changes that are made, and also how little we value information and knowledge and facts in the information age, because, as previously mentioned, inflation tends to devalue the currency, and when the currency is information, then inflation, which we obviously have with the proliferation and redundancy of information in the big data age in particular, generally speaking, the currency is devalued with the proliferation of it. And so more information means we tend to take it for granted generally, and we don't value it as highly as we probably otherwise should. And so we lose a lot of those stories. I don't know about anybody else, but I can say, for example, you know, there was a person in my family. There was one person in particular who was masterful at this. Google and Facebook would have marveled at her. One of my grandmothers, she was masterful at this kind of thing. She could, somehow she managed to keep track of all of the right information and was not encumbered by the wrong information, which is something that I still marvel at. And it's important. She knew. I mean, can you live without it? Sure. But does it help you understand who you are and where you've come from? And does it help you walk a little more upright, a little straighter, and maybe live a little differently? Maybe. Can you do it without that? Sure. But, you know, back in his heyday when Tiger Woods was asked, you know, how do you do it? Every time he was asked, how do you do it? How do you keep winning? There was a point where he was winning almost every other time that he played in a tournament. And they would say, you know, how do you do it? How do you do it? And obviously his preparation was unparalleled in a variety of ways, but he was kind of known for, and is still known for, his course management, which is something that the greats do. And he would just say, I try to give myself chances, which means a lot of things. It sounds simple, but it means a lot of things. And course management is one of those important things. And so there are a number of times that we, rather than giving ourselves chances, we kind of hamstring ourselves in one way or another because of maybe something that we do or maybe that we don't do. And so in this case, having the knowledge of, you know, who you are and where you came from, people sometimes use the aphorism, don't forget where you came from. You know, he forgot where he came from, or, you know, she never forgot where she came from, that kind of thing. And so to lose sight of those things, and you see movies and books and things written about this, you know, Hallmark has made an entire network on that concept. She forgot who she was. You know, she went to the big city to make her way, or, you know, he did, and then along the way lost sight of who he or she was, and then comes back and, oh my gosh, this is what really matters. So, you know, that's it can be important, you know. And we used to make movies about this kind of thing. Cattle Drive, starring Joel McRae, back in 1951, as an example, you know, where a young Dean Stockwell is a boy on a cattle drive that learns some hard lessons in life and is lucky at one point that he doesn't kill himself or others. But, you know, hopefully he learns, and these cowboys teach this young man to value what's important. And so, you know, the storyline from Wikipedia, the basic story about a rich brat who gets lost in a dangerous place far from home, then learns character and values from the working men who rescue him, echoes that of 1937 Oscar-winning film Captain's Courageous, adapted from a novel by Rudyard Kipling. Key difference, besides the fact that the leading man does not get killed in the end, is that Cattle Drive is set in a desert area and not at sea, obviously. But, you know, those things used to be important, and so that's kind of in the fabric, you know, in the tapestry of the stories that we pass along. We used to do that, but we have sort of relegated that to technology, to the technocrats and their technology, whatever it may be at the time. You know, whether it's Google Drive or Microsoft OneDrive or whatever. And I don't know that that's the best idea. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Welcome back. On another note, John Adams observed in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, as I've mentioned many, many, many times, probably ad nauseum, right? Letter August 23, 1787. All the perplexities, confusions, and distresses in America arise from what? All, you know, some would call him a deist. I don't know. I wonder what he would call himself. But I know that John Adams has sort of become my favorite founding father, I think, at least for the moment. All the perplexities, confusions, it was always sort of between Adams and Jefferson. But Miss Adams at the moment. All the perplexities, confusions, and distresses, do we have some of those in America, arise not from defects in their constitution or confederation, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. The nature of coin, credit, and circulation. So as an example, let's see. Larry sends me this article from the Texas Tribune yesterday. Charles Butt Foundation, HEB, donate $10 million for new Uvalde school. Did we tear that down yet? Because we got to hurry up and tear that down before the evidence. I mean, before the, trauma-based mind. The timeline is still unclear for demolishing the school building. The district has plans to replace it with a memorial park, of course, because, you know, then, of course, we won't have any evidence, not a shred of evidence. And make sure that you take all of the material and, you know, send it over to China for processing, because we wouldn't want to, you know, have anyone here be traumatized by. Remember all the weird, Sandy Hook is a good example. Probably wasn't Sandy Hook one of the examples where things were, you know, it was like the CIA was running the demolition project, and you had to have a security clearance just to work on the demo project, and it was a piecemeal deal to keep everyone compartmentalized. You know, why do things like that happen? It's very difficult, if not impossible, to make a case that it's because of trauma or this or that. The surreptitious justifications never seem to explain. You know, I feel like the ghost of Fred Hampton is always saying, we get explanations that don't explain, answers that don't answer, et cetera, et cetera. So the point here, grocery retailer HEB and the Butt family have committed $10 million to the Uvalde School District to build a new school to replace Robb Elementary. What do you bet that somebody has a fraternal connection to something somewhere? Maybe not. But obviously my spidey senses go off when these things happen. Why do you have to tear the school down? The schools don't get torn down in all cases. And while we're at it, wasn't Sutherland Springs the one where, you know, we should tear it down, wait, the FBI comes in and does the cleanup and the painting? There are situations where in a normal society, the society itself, the local community wants to, you know, do those kinds of things themselves as a part of healing. But, you know, when every time something like this happens, the first thing you hear is the FBI is assisting. That's the tail is wagging the dog in the investigation. That's always curious. And then, you know, when you see like in Sutherland Springs that the FBI is leading the first, you know, we hear, well, we're going to tear it down. No, wait, the FBI is doing, you know, they've cordoned the place off and they're doing all of the repairs. Now, you know what? The FBI did the repairs. Maybe we don't have to tear it down. Well, what was your impetus for tearing it down in the first place? I thought you said like hardship and suffering, you know, which all reminds me of Malcolm X saying, don't let your enemy define terms. And, you know, I think generally speaking, we've become a snowflake, you know, Karen society. We don't generally ask the questions that should be asked every time. We lost that, I think, with the World War II generation. And yes, they were beguiled also, but, you know, when they were kind of in the driver's seat, there was, I would say, generally speaking, not quite as many things were going on. I don't know. Maybe we could argue otherwise. I probably make a case for that. Anyway, there were lines you didn't cross with those folks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Roe v. Wade is gone, and I believe it was the progressives' fault. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. I believe abortion is murder, but I didn't say much about it until New York and Virginia started to allow abortion up to the moment of birth. It was those laws that got me involved in politics. Those two states inspired me to write my first book. If abortion had stayed safe, legal, and rare, many people would have just gone along to get along. If abortion had stayed restricted to the first trimester before viability, I would have remained silent. The fact is that less than 8% of abortions are performed because of rape, fetal health, or maternal health. Over 92% are done because the woman doesn't want a child for whatever reason. The progressive push for ever-expanding abortion access woke people like me up. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivis Pasham, Parabellum.
Welcome back. All right, bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast. It's Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. So it's a point of mentioning these things together. You know, Adams talking about all the perplexities, confusions, and distresses in America arise not from defects in their constitution or confederation, not from a want of honor or virtue, so much as a downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. Well, and then the story, you know, that Larry sent me over the Texas Tribune, but family HEB donate $10 million to replace Robb Elementary School in Uvalde after mass shooting, which is a really interesting Subject we could probably spend some time on. So Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District's new nonprofit arm, the Uvalde CISD Moving Forward Foundation, which is seeking donations to make the district's schools more secure, help build the new school and build a memorial park at the Robb location. So the Uvalde CISD Consolidated Independent School District's Moving Forward Foundation, and there's a website you can go to, UvaldeCISDMovingForward.org. Unbelievable. Now, what's, you know, you'll see some anonymous donations. What's particularly troubling to me about this, it reminds me of things like, reminds me of a lot of things, but for starters, it reminds me of the campaigns. What's the, you know, Patreon's one of them. There's the other one. Let's use, you know, where you can donate anonymously. And, you know, when there was the Las Vegas episode, Strategy of Tension episode, many donations, small donations were made. It's you know, my suspicion is, you know, this is kind of how it goes. You have a Manchurian candidate, and then you have peripheral folks who are, you know, aiding, abetting, you know, they're accomplices to the crime, and they are construed as victims after the fact. And then, you know, they have their little donation page. And there's been some really crazy fraud in these kinds of episodes that have been exposed. But, you know, somebody raises $500,000 or $1 million or whatever, or it's, there are donations. And I just wonder where all of those anonymous donations come from, in the tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases. Really? I mean, there are that many people that are donating $10 or $15? That's really interesting. Or is there a slush fund somewhere that, you know, combined with the supercomputing of, say, BlackRock, has a number that's automatically picked, and then, you know, those are the, you know, that's the dollar amount that's where all of the donations are pegged. I wonder what forensic accountants might say if they looked at, you know, the donations to all of the so-called victims of Strategy of Tension episodes. I wonder what they might find, if there were some curious little things they might find. Same goes for these kinds of things. I wonder about these kinds of things. So Uvalde CISD, Moving Forward Foundation. So here's the point, putting these things together. You know, you hear the commercials about RBN, and again, thank you to everyone who supports the network. Thank you very much. Obviously, the network, as you hear in the commercials, relies on your support. I think that RBN is different. It's a special place. I've mentioned many times why, you know, both before John Stadmiller passed away and after, it's a special place. So thank you for your support. But here's what I'm talking about. You know, part of me wants to say, rather than eating our seed, as the farmer might say, you know, part of me wants to say, well, we need to set up something like this. Someone needs to set up, you know, we take $1 million or whatever, and instead of spending it all the time, we set up some charitable, you know, foundation, and some endowment, and then, you know, it grows tax deferred or tax exempt effectively from there on. But part of me has misgivings about that, because that's how we run into trouble. And people are people, no matter who people are. And, you know, you start talking about the Pujo Committee, you start talking about the Reese Committee, You start talking about Rene Wormser's foundations, their power and influence. And, you know, he asked all the questions and gave the answers as he saw them in his book. And so, you know, that's the rub. Therein lies the rub. Carol Reese, B. Carol Reese, wrote the preface to Wormser's book, Foundations of Power and Influence. But Wormser asked the question. You know, it was three parts. Part one, the study of foundations. Part two, the power of the individual foundation. Part three, the concentration of power. Actually, there were other parts. Those were the first three parts. But, you know, then he gets into specifics, social science and scientism. We're certainly, you know, so much of this is it's the same conversation today that it's always really been since the days of Plato and before, obviously. Foundations and radicalism and education. Revolution is nearly accomplished. That's part six. Part seven, foundation impact on foreign policy is seven. Eight, the Ford Foundation, gargantua of philanthropy. And then finally, part nine, from here on. But, you know, those first three parts, I mean, they all have chapters. Study of foundations, congressional investigation is not enough. The Walsh Commission, the Textron investigation of business abuses, the social significance of tax-exempt institutions, foundation responsibility, what is propaganda, quote-unquote, and what is education, quote-unquote. Because remember, you know, guys like this, the nuances and subtleties, conflating terms, you know, this is not lost on guys like Bertrand Russell and the impact of science on society. You know, old school bad guy, influencer, Bertrand Russell. I think the subject which will be of most importance politically is mass psychology. Of the, you know, he said it seems to be its importance has been enormously increased by the growth of modern methods of propaganda. Like what, Bertie? Of these, the most influential is what is called education, quote unquote. So back to Wormser's foundations, their power and influence. What is propaganda and what is education? And then what is religious? And there's more, but, you know, I was just going to stop there. See, that's the rub. That's the challenge. And I'm of the mind that I always want to defer all of these things, these issues, to the Holy Spirit. That's where I come from. Because, as I say, the question is always who decides. And, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men, you know, it's always the fly in the ointment, to mix metaphors. So, you know, what is religious? Real quick, and then we'll go to the phones. Yesterday, Rhonda called in and mentioned the plane crash of Carrie Madej. I think, you know, it's possible, it's real. Like I said, my first thought when she said, when Rhonda mentioned the plane crash, was no one ever survives these things. So that's interesting. Also, I thought it was interesting that Pete COINTELPRO, Agent Provocateur Santilli, was one person, if not the person, who sort of broke the story to the, whatever you want to call it, so-called patriot community or whatever. He was the one who did it live on air, from what I understand. So that's always curious. And the last thing I'll say about all of that, which ties directly back to what I'm talking about now, is that, you know, David Sorensen over at StopWorldControl.com is the guy who helped make the documentary, what is it, Human 2.0 or Humanity 2.0 or whatever it is, with Carrie Madej. And I think David is obviously a very intelligent, very well-connected, very, I think, well-meaning guy, but I think he's kind of, I would call him, from what I understand, kind of a dominionist type of a guy. And There's one pastor I know of that I don't know personally, but I know of. I think he's down in Texas. That, and I'm sure there are others. But you know, he talked about, speaking of dominionism, it's this, you know, it's the flesh trying to glorify and gratify itself. And so whenever there's conflict and discord, you know, James talks about this among others in the Bible. What is the source of that conflict? It's not the Holy Spirit. That's the point. And so, you know, my default mechanism, if I err on one side or the other, it's the Holy Spirit decides. And I don't see how you can go wrong with that. This, all this other stuff, you know, there are nuances. I say occupy till he comes, but I don't mean the same thing, I think, that we start getting into when we start trying to set up these things. So that's the problem, you know, that's the problem. That's the, and that is not to say that, you know, if a person feels compelled to set up a foundation and, you know, make an endowment or whatever, that that's not legit. Who am I to say what the Holy Spirit is imparting to others? But, you know, the question is always who decides. Anyway, enough about that. To the phones, John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
It's news to me. Good morning. Is Carrie Madej okay, or has she passed away?
No, she's alive. She's alive and out of ICU, I think. But yeah, she was, I mean, from based on the reporting, she's pretty banged up. Really banged up. And so is her boyfriend.
I've got a question. You know, I moved to Tennessee in the early 90s to get away from Detroit. I moved to a really small town. The gymnasium at the grade school looked like a giant Quonset hut. That should tell you something about how old the school was.
Yeah.
School was named after William James. I don't know if William James.
I think we talked about that at one point. And okay, I said,
I don't
anybody
know if
who,
it's D. William James or not.
I don't know how it could not be.
In any event, this little town, I studied architecture and I was getting ready to build my house. And so I was in the city hall and they had some blueprints laying up on the counter. And while I was waiting, I was thumbing through the blueprints. I don't know if I was allowed or not, but I did it. You know, I just made myself at home, and I realized that they were getting ready to build a new community center that actually had lead lining in the walls. And so I'm going, wow, this is unusual. What do they know that we don't know? Why do they need lead shielding the community center?
Yeah.
Unless it's going to be some giant fallout shelter for some future event. So then later on, my kids go to high school, and I live about a mile away from a piece of property that was donated maybe 20 years ago by some fat cat, a hill that was on stone, and I listened to him use probably several tons of dynamite to break through the rock to put the foundation for the school. The school, every room in the school is internet connected with cameras, with, you know, Wi-Fi, all the doors, electric and magnetic locks. And I couldn't get, at that point, I was on 56K dial-up at my house 1 mile away. But the school had internet connectivity
Just kidding.
1 mile away.
Yeah.
So my question, you know, when I was a boy, you could go to the high school during the summer. You could ride your skateboard in the parking lot, or get your go-kart in the parking lot, or go play on the ball field, or, you know, climb the building if you want to. But I noticed this year, summer came, the school has actually got concertina wire around it. They don't have a gate at the driveway, but they've got barricades up, do not enter.
Well,
so my question, this little town of 5,000 people actually built the high school in excess of $100 million. Mm-hmm. There are two questions, and I asked, I already know the answer. Where does the money come from, and why the need to connect everything to the internet, to fence it off, to make it inaccessible, unless in the future they're either going to lock your children in or use it as some kind of a giant prison. And I know that sounds outrageous, but don't put it past them. They've been building prisons around the country. We call them storage centers with little 6x6 cells. And when it really comes to it, they'll throw it out in a pile, they'll bury it, and they'll haul your butt in there and feed you through a crack in the door, if you're fortunate.
Well, we've talked...
Any thoughts?
I know that we've talked many times about the... There are several articles, and we've talked about the articles going back more than a decade about how schools are increasingly designed and looking like minimum security prisons. And so, you know, we've talked about Bentham and the Panopticon and the utilitarians and their involvement. The cyberneticians and utilitarians and technocrats are all kind of the same ilk at some point. Anyway, I'll finish my thoughts when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life, to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Okay, so William James, I can't imagine there is another William James after whom a school would be named. And as I always say, anybody who quotes or cites or whatever William James, I think is, you know, automatically sort of self-identifies as an old school bad guy. But, you know, lead lining, that reminds me of, I have thought many times lately that, you know, I just, who do you ask about lead paint? I've wondered so many times why we really lost lead paint. I mean, I know the Bernaysian reason, the good reason that we heard was, oh, it, you know, it's probably a carcinogen, it's carcinogenous. And, that's, you know, sounds good, but I know for a fact that that's not why we always engage in these abatement projects. I used to be a mechanical insulator for a period of time, and I remember watching the calcium block, the asbestos block, be torn away in abatement projects, and then we would apply the spin glass that says on the box that it's a known carcinogen. So what are we doing there? So lead paint coming off the walls is not, I'm not convinced that it's entirely because it may be a carcinogen. So does it prevent certain technologies from, you know, penetrating the walls, for example? I think so. And so that's kind of what I always think of when I hear about the lead stuff or, you know, and of course you think of like when you go get x-rays, what do they do? You know, they throw the lead jacket over you. Why? So that the rest of you doesn't get radiated and it prevents that radiation. So now we don't have lead paint anymore, and maybe we should. So that's kind of what I think.
Company in Michigan. It was called mercury paint, where yeah. They put mercury in the paint because in an industrial use, it stayed forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sold it up until the 90s, Mercury yeah. Paint Company.
Yeah, yeah.
So is mercury a carcinogen? I can remember in grade school in Detroit at another bad guy, James Gardner Elementary,
yeah. Yeah.
Playing with mercury in the science class.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently they didn't know it was bad for us.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.